Ezekiel chapter 3. You got it? Amen.
Amen.
So there's a preacher preaching that God is going to judge Israel. We've been talking about Jeremiah, right? They have the Israel in the north and Judah in the south, and Israel's already been taken captive, and Jerusalem was going to fall. Well, now Ezekiel is one of those prophets, one of those people that was actually taken to Babylon. He's actually been exiled from his land. A preacher, young man. We think of prophets, we think of old people, don't we? We think of old man. He was only about 30 years old as we look at this. And here he is preaching to the nation. He's got this big burden that he's carrying, that he wants his nation to turn to God. He wants God to favor, to bless his country, his people. How many of us want God to bless America? We do. That's, and we're burdened about it. We want God to bless our nation. We want people to be drawn to God and to have good days. I look at some of these kings like Hezekiah, and God said, I'm going to judge the land, but not during your day. He said, well, if it's not in my day, who cares? Y'all remember that? It's going to be in your sons and your grandsons. He said, let them deal with it. I'm going to enjoy my time. And that's not good to have, is it? We look at what they've given to us, right? Ben Franklin, what has it done for us? Giving you a republic if you can keep it, right? Isn't that the way he said it? If you can keep it, here we are trying to keep it. But we need God's favor. We need God's blessing. And we think about God blessing a nation. How many of us can minister to the whole country? Right? Maybe in prayer, but that's it. But we need to do what we can right here where we are. That means our friends and our family. And so Ezekiel's got this burden for his whole country, all of his people, but he's in a different land. Let me tell you this. Israel didn't stop being Israel because they were in Babylon. And the church doesn't stop being the church just because the service is over and we've left the building. We are the church. And God has given us a burden and a calling. He's called us to him. And we've got a responsibility to be identifiable as the church, even when we're not assembled. You hear what I say? To be identifiable, to be recognizable as Christians, as God's people, as the church, as a holy priesthood before God, called even when we're not in church. We got t-shirts you could wear, and that'll help. But it's about what we do, it's about what we say, it's about where we go, it's about what we don't say, what we don't do, and where we don't go, right? It's about representing God all the time. Israel didn't stay in Israel because they were in a different land. Is get right, get right, get right. And now they've been taken away. Well, if they've already been taken away, they're in a strange land. Aren't they already feeling defeated? How many of you have ever felt defeated? They're already defeated. And God reaches to Ezekiel and he gives Ezekiel, this young man, this young prophet, a message. Not unlike the message that he gave Jeremiah. He says, I want you to go preach to these people. I want you to know something about the people you're preaching to. If you were to describe the audience or the congregation here today that is assembled, how would you describe it? Look around. Realize you're... How would you describe the assembly today? Mature, okay, mature is good. Some of them are not very mature, but okay, I'll go with that. Okay, seeking, all right. Loving, what's that? Unified, okay. Family. Is that how you think God described Israel? God, I want you to preach to your people who are defeated. Your people who have been taken captive in another land. Your people who are now serving in a land they didn't want to go to. Remember, who did he take from Israel? The best and the brightest. Right? He didn't just come in there and sweep through and take everybody. He went and he said, okay, you're educated. You got a good job. You got a good trade. You got good skills. You're a smart person. And those are the ones they took. Except Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, I'm not going. Right? But Daniel, right? Ezekiel, these are Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Remember those guys? They were the best and the brightest. You see, when he was from Israel, he wanted them to come to Babylon and teach his people and be productive and make it a great land. He didn't want people to come welfare. That wasn't the idea. He wanted them to be busy. He wanted to be productive. In Ezekiel chapter 3, in verse number 7, he tells the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. If God assured me this morning that I was going to stand before you and preach, and nobody was going to like what I had to say, and nobody was going to get saved, and nobody was going to get right, what's the point? When I preach, I want people to get saved. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you don't know that you're going to heaven. I want you to know that you're going to heaven by the time we finish this morning. I want you to pray and ask God's forgiveness and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior before we leave this morning. That is my utmost goal today, right now, in this hour. And if you sit there, like I've had people sit there, with your arms crossed, y'all think I'm kidding? That they'll sit right there and do that. In fact, I went to one of them, and this has been a few years ago, and I said, "Why do you come to church? You don't like it." She said, "My husband likes coming to church." She would sit there every service and go, she was cold. She was cold. Amen. You got that right. God said, "Ezekiel, I want you to preach, but I want you to know something. These people are impudent." Verse 7. "That they will not come to me, for all the house of Israel are impudent." They're disrespectful. They have no respect for the Word of God or the man of God or for God. But I want you to go preach to them. They are impudent and they are hard-hearted. Man, trying to get people to get saved, but they just don't want to get saved. You're trying to tell them about God, but they don't want to know about God. The difference here is that you have come voluntarily into God's house to worship and to pray and to have fellowship with one another and to receive God's Word in God. That's why you showed up today, right? You came because you wanted to be here. The house of Israel that Ezekiel's going to preach to, they don't want to hear it. It's like these street preachers. I know we've had a few along the way that have been part of our church and part of our family who like to go preach. There was a football game yesterday, right, in Tallahassee, a homecoming game. And Friday night, that means they have Friday night party, downtown get down, and they have music and all kind of activities down there. How many of you think they want me to be down there preaching? Right next to the bar. How many of you think they want me to be down there preaching against the stuff they should? By the way, I don't know if you were there because I wasn't there. It's just if you don't tell anybody, it'll be okay. We won't know. But why do they go down there Friday night to hear me? No, they go down there to drink and to party and to dance and to whatever else they do. And then yesterday, you think they went to the football game so I could stand outside the stadium and warn them of a judgment to come? You think they wanted me down there to tell them that there was sin in their hearts and they need to get right with God? They were there for a football game. They weren't there for preaching. By the way, I'm not against football. I'm glad FSU won yesterday. It's a lot more on Sunday morning when FSU wins on Saturday night. But that was not why they were there. You're here now for preaching. Or tuned in for preaching. But the world was going on. They were busy. They were living their lives. And then comes this young preacher in his 30s. And he's saying, "Y'all better get right with God. Y'all are not treating your brothers and your sisters and your neighbors right and strangers right. Y'all need to start having love and kindness and living holy. And you need to stop accepting the sin that God has stood against. You need to stop embracing the world system when you know that it is contrary to God. They don't want to hear that. They're impudent, disrespectful. They're hard-hearted. They don't want to hear it. But God says, Ezekiel, I'm going to make you hard-headed because they're hard-hearted. You ever met somebody just wouldn't give up? Just wouldn't give up? That's the kind of preachers we need. That's the kind of Christians we need. Is a hard-headed, because we're working for the hard-hearted, trying to turn them to Christ, trying to show them the way, and they're disrespectful and they don't want to hear it. Kind of reminds me of parenting. Anybody else feel that way sometimes? As a parent? Make you hard-headed enough to deal with it. I'm going to make your heart, your face as hard as stone. Look at verse 8. Against their faces, thy forehead, strong against their forehead, as an adamant, harder than flint, have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks. Though they be a rebellious house. God said, Ezekiel, let me tell you something. If you come out there like some coward and timid and afraid to preach with no confidence, they're going to eat alive. But I have given you the confidence to take a stand, and I've given you the authority to preach with authority. We need preachers that will preach with authority. It's terrible. You ever seen a preacher that didn't study to preach? And they're afraid to say, because they didn't study and they don't know what they're talking about. But now a pastor, a preacher that studied, that's prepared, that's prayed, that's God, that has the confidence to take the pulpit and to open the Word of God and to let it pour through, that's the kind of preaching we need. You ever seen a preacher that was intimidated? Preaching. I don't ever want to hurt your feelings when I'm preaching. But I'm probably going to at some point. That doesn't mean I don't love you. It means I do love you. Sometimes we don't want to change. How many of you want to be told that you're wrong? No, we don't. I mean, outwardly we don't. Inside, we want to be right. And so if we're wrong, we want to be able to change. But we don't want anybody to confront us on our wrong. And God says, Ezekiel, you've got to be hard-headed because they're hard-hearted and their face is going to be crunched up at you, and so you're going to have to crunch up back. And you're just going to have to preach. You have to lay it out. And you can't be afraid and you can't be a wimp. And it's going to hurt some feelings and it's going to make some people, and you're going to lose some church members over it. There's going to be some people that will try to kill you, throw you in jail. Preach anyway. And if the government says you can't preach it louder. Amen. And if the deacons say you can't preach it louder. Now I say that because we got good. Now that I look back, I can remember one deacon that didn't like some of the things I said. Not here, though, somewhere else. But he was wrong. And so I preached it anyway. But I'm not just talking about preachers. We can't be wimps as Christians when we go out those doors and go on our jobs and go to our schools and hang out with our friends and sit down at the table. We've got to have backbone and we've got to be hard-headed against the hard-hearted. Because I tell you what, if they hurt your feelings, They'll tell you, well, you know, so who was it that was telling me that? I need you to not believe in Jesus because it offends your brother. Somebody told me that this week. It'll offend your brother, so I need you to just throw away your faith. No. Tell him to do this if he doesn't like it. Guys, let me express something to you real, just as sincerely as I can. At some point, either in a church house or a funeral home or somewhere, there's going to be a casket or an urn with what's left of your life. But before that happens, your soul, your spirit will leave that body, this vessel that God's given us to carry us around, and will be in the presence of God or in hell. And you can't wait till then to choose. You've got to choose now whom you will serve. You've got to choose now to put your faith in God. And you say, well, I'm going to put it off. I hope nothing bad happens. Because I can tell you that I deal with situations every day of people who thought they'd see tomorrow and they don't. Not here. Right now from your heart to God, won't you cry out and say, God, I want to be sure of my salvation. I want to be sure my sins are forgiven. I want to be sure I'm going to heaven. So I give myself to you. I surrender my life. You forgive my sins by Jesus Christ. Save my soul. You say that now. And have the assurance. Won't you say, God, I surrender all? We can baptize you, bury in your old life, so you can be risen to walk in newness of life. We can do that for you. We can help you. You need to choose if you're going to serve God, if you're going to live for God. God moves Ezekiel, shows him his glory, and he brings him to a place, and now God's given Ezekiel this calling, and the Bible says in Ezekiel, in verse number 15, it says, he came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv, that dwelt by the river Chebar, and I sat where they sat. Whoa, you want to help somebody? That's powerful, isn't it? Tell you the truth. There's so many people we can't help because we never sat where they sat. God said, Ezekiel, I need you to sit where they sit. I need you to be where they are. I don't want you to misunderstand. I don't have to lose my wife in order to relate to people who have lost a spouse. But for those that have, they're able to relate better than I am. They're able to minister better than I am. I may not be sitting where you're sitting this morning, but I want you to know, when I think about your burdens and your needs, when I pray for you, I try to really be sensitive to what it is you are going through and where you're sitting. But I know, at least for much of my life, I was sheltered. I was sitting in a place where I couldn't relate, where I couldn't minister. And God has put me in seats that were uncomfortable and I didn't like it. But he put me in those seats so I could sit where you sit. Ezekiel sat where they sat. And for 7 days, he just sat there stunned by what God had put on his plate. It took him 7 days to really get a hold of what God had called him to do. He just sat there astonished. Stunned. You mean God wants me to do that? At my age, in my situation, there are people that you know that I will never meet. You need to tell people about a Savior that loves them and a heaven that would be wonderful for their eternity. You need to tell them because they'll never meet me. This idea that, well, I give my money to the church and the pastors and the missionaries' job to evangelize. We're never going to meet your friends. You see them every day, every week, every month. You can help them. You can reach them. You know them better than I ever will. If you do meet them. So you and I each need to be responsible for what God has put in our lives. Those who God has put in our lives. What is the number one thing? When God called Ezekiel to go to Israel in a foreign land to the people, still a people, even though they weren't in their own land, he said, here's what I want you to tell them. He didn't say anything about making sacrifices. He didn't say anything about going to temple or getting baptized or going to church or singing in the choir. He didn't talk about any of that stuff. You already said? Look at verse number 17. Son of man, I've made thee a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth. That means you and I need to be studying the Word of God, need to know the Word of God, need to be students of the Word of God, need to hear the Word of God, and give them warning from me. Don't raise your hand on this. How many of you believe you know somebody that's going to spend eternity separated from God? You know somebody that's going to hell. You had an opportunity this past week to talk to somebody about it, but you didn't, and maybe nobody else will. And they're going to hell. Now explain to me why. Why wasn't it important enough? You didn't have time? Didn't have the words? Didn't care? You see, it's pretty easy to laugh at that lady with her arms crossed, shaking her head no because she didn't want to hear it. But I'm going to tell you something. I just said some things that made you uncomfortable. There's only one to heaven, and it's Jesus Christ. And the time to get saved, the time to give our lives to Christ is now. Because when we die, it's too late. There's no purgatory. There's no way out once we're in. He said, I have made thee a watchman. It's your job to do what? Sing in the choir? No. Get baptized? No. What? To warn them. The building's on fire, you're going to run out and leave everybody else behind? We know people that need Jesus. We need to warn them. Guys, we need to go to we need. We need rocks and desert and no distraction. So that we can really spend some time thinking about what eternity is, what hell is. Because if we get in our hearts and our minds what hell is really about, what the lake of fire is really about, we'll want everybody to go to heaven. We'll want everybody to know Jesus. And I'll tell you something, if you're sitting here this morning and you're waiting to get saved, you're waiting to trust Christ as your Savior, you might better think about hell right now. You don't want to go. Don't put it off. How many of you ever went online to order tickets the morning that the tickets were released? Anybody ever do that? No, just one, two, three. We got some confession going on. All right. I didn't ask what concert it was. How many of you ever went on there to order tickets? But you were late. And in 5 minutes, the concert sold out. In 5 minutes, there were no more options, no more space, no more time. An auction. You went on the auction and you said, I want to put in a bid. But somebody else already got it. This is not something you want to wait till this evening to deal with. This is not even something you want to wait till the end of preaching. You can to God right now from your heart to God's heart and say, God, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. I give my life to you and ask you to forgive my sins. You don't need my help. I just told you what to say. You'll be just as saved right now if you'll do that as you could ever be. You're a watchman. Look at this. So you ready? In fact, I'll close my Bible. All right? That help you? There's three groups of people God addresses here. God says, if you preach to the wicked, all right, you tell them you need to get right with God and they don't, then if you don't preach to them, I'm holding you responsible to you. If you don't warn them. You ever driving down the road, country road, maybe right at dusk, and there's a horse or a cow in the road? You come around a curve and you meet another car and you flash lights and wave and say, hey, slow down, there's a cow in the road up there. Or is it more likely that you flash your lights and wave and say, there's a highway patrol around the corner? Slow down. As we warn them about those things, but we won't warn them about a lake of fire that waits for eternity? Do we not care? Do we just... We just really don't believe it then. If you warn them and they get right, that's great. If you don't warn them so they don't know to get right, I'm holding you responsible. Oh, by the way, he says, I also need you to preach to the ones that are right to keep them from backsliding. So that they don't fall back and do wrong. We go to church every Sunday because God told Ezekiel, you preach to the ones that are doing right, to keep doing right, and warn them not to backslide. So here's my message to you. If you're not born again, get born again right now. Right now, pray. God, forgive me of my sins and save my soul. I know I've sinned and I surrender my life to you in Jesus' name. If you are all born again, won't you pray and say, God, I want to stay on the right path. And I know now that part of that path is I need to be warning people. I need to tell them that judgment is coming. I need to tell them they need to get right. I need to warn them. Put them, he said, a watchman. Have a tower. You get up in the tower and you look out. And you see the army coming. And your job is to run down the tower or sound and tell everybody else the enemy's on his way. I'm here to tell the enemy's on its way. We need to get our lives for the Lord. That enemy is death. That's the moment we can't take anything back. That's the moment it's done. So we need to get it in order today. Let's stand. Father, we love you so much. What a powerful message from Ezekiel this morning, that we are dealing with people all throughout the world that are happy in their sin. They're comfortable how they're living. Though the Bible says that they're doing wrong, though you are opposed to the things that they are supporting, they're comfortable in their sin, and they're hard-hearted against anybody who will tell them they're wrong. But this morning, in this room, We ask that you would expose the wrong in our hearts and our lives. That we'll surrender it and that you'll remove it. We ask you that you'll forgive our sins, Jesus Christ. That you will renew a right spirit. That you would anoint us with your Holy Spirit. To do those things which are right. God, that you would bring to our mind our friends, our family, the people that we'll talk to this week, and each time that you want us to reach out with the gospel, with the truth, by your Holy Spirit, that you'll just let us know, hey, this is the one. That you will prepare us in the things that we will say so that we can lead them to a Savior. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. This is your opportunity. You can pray where you are. Would you receive God's forgiveness this morning? Would you give your life to God this morning? Don't wait till it's too late. Do it now. This is your opportunity. Appreciate your attendance, your attention this morning. Anything before we're dismissed? 6 o'clock tonight, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. And Bill's birthday. Well, his birthday is not till what, Saturday? And tomorrow is somebody's birthday, Christina's birthday tomorrow. So let's be mindful of those. I know they appreciate your phone calls and your love and reaching out to them. Let's pray for these that have been mentioned, Gary and Claretta and the Shannons, and just look around and see who's missing and pray for them. Sister Gladys, Sister Charlotte, and of course the Veals and the Pitts. All right. All right. Paid up, prayed up, ready to go up. All right. Let's go to the Lord and dismiss with prayer. And I'm going to ask Brother Andy, would you dismiss?